Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Before we get into the message today, I just want to bring you an update of what is happening over in Kenya. There's a lot of chaos. There's a lot of demonstrations in the streets now. They're demonstrating and rioting. Wouldn't call it demonstration at this point. It's more like riots. Twice a week on Monday and Thursday, the opposition candidate, the opposition party, is out in the streets, and they're demanding that the price of food come down, the price of living, the cost of living come down. They're also demanding the servers from the election. Way last August, they're demanding that those servers be opened and that the election be inspected again. Well, it was already taken to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court ruled in favor of a good election. They ruled in favor of the party who is now seated as the ruling party in Kenya. So a lot of this is just chaos from the pit of hell. It's just rebellion, and it's just anarchy. It's an excuse for people to go and loot and burn and steal and create mayhem. And so I ask for your prayers for Kenya today, Lord. Ask for your prayers, because this is a terrible situation for Kenya. Kenya is a country that is deeply in debt, and their financial situation is very precarious, and so there's not going to be anything good come out of all these demonstrations that will help Kenya in the long run. It will not help Kenya in their financial situation. It will not help the cost of living go down. And so pray for Kenya that the Lord does something supernatural to stop these demonstrations, stop this mayhem and this chaos. Other than that, the children's home, of course, we're under the burden of great inflation. We're under the burden of increased costs. So pray about that the Lord would open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on the children's home, pour out a blessing on the ministry, and that we can have some money in the bank to keep going with this children's home ministry and be relieved of the great burden. And so that would be a prayer request also, that the Lord would open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on that ministry, pour out a blessing so that we can provide for the children. We have about 25 children in the home, and we can provide for them and take care of their medical needs, their food needs, clothing, schooling, and all that stuff. And we thank you, Lord, for the provision that you've given us so far. Well, today we're going to be talking about let not your heart be troubled. And as I said before the prayer, this is an important subject, an appropriate subject, because with all the chaos and mayhem, the banking and financial sector that is under stress and duress here in the U.S., things are not looking the best that they ever had. But when you look around and see what a great and mighty nation we have, we know the Lord has preserved us through many trials, many difficulties, and the Lord will do it again. He will remember the United States of America. We still carry money in our pockets. It says, "In God we trust." And so the Lord will remember us. He will take care of us. He has provided for us for 260 years or so, 250 some years now. And so he will continue to provide. We just need to look to the Lord in every situation, call out to him, cry out to him. And if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and pray to me, turn from their wicked ways, the Lord says, I will hear your prayer from heaven, and I will forgive your sin, and I will heal your land. And so that is what we're asking God to do, to heal our land today, and to forgive our sin, and to bless this land, the United States of America. Well, today, turn to your Bible in Matthew chapter 24, the Olivet Discourse, and in verse 6, Jesus is telling the disciples, this will be the sign, or these will be the signs of his coming and the signs of the end of the age. And in verse 6, he says, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, or see that you are not troubled, for this may take place, but the end is not yet. Well, I think about my country, Kenya, and the wars and the rumors of wars. We're sitting on the verge of an explosive civil war there. We're sitting on the verge of a very, very tragic and explosive situation. It's been under the surface for many years, tribal conflict, tribal jealousy, and everything in Kenya kind of motivates or is motivated by tribal situations. And so we know that tribes in Kenya, eventually everything comes back to that. It's kind of like racism in America. It's like pulling the tribal card, pulling the race card. And so we know that there are wars and rumors of wars, always conflict under the surface, but now it's bubbling to the top because of the recent election and because primarily of one individual who can't accept the results of the election in Kenya. And he has a spirit of rebellion. He's been involved in politics since 1982, and he has a spirit of rebellion. It's very, very difficult for him to accept the situations. He's run for president 5 times, been defeated every time, and so it's very difficult for him to accept the situation as it is today. So then Jesus says, after he said, "Do not be troubled," or "Do not be alarmed," he said, "See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet." Verse 7, "For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of the birth pangs." And so we're in that time, I believe, when we're in the beginning of birth pangs. I don't believe we're in the tribulation. I don't see the signs that you read about in Revelation chapter 6 through chapter 19. We're not in the tribulation. And so people tell you we're in the great tribulation and the end is near. No, we're not. As we talked about last week in Matthew 24:14, Jesus said that the gospel must be preached to all the nations as a witness to all the nations and must be preached over all the world. Well, we're not even close to that. If you want to come to Africa, you can see how many tribes, how many peoples and tongues here have not had a clear presentation of the gospel shown to them or preached to them. Many of them are Muslims. Many of them are just in a tribal pagan religion, and many people have not had a clear presentation of the gospel preached to them. And so we're not anywhere near the point where the gospel has been preached to all the world as a witness to the nations. And so don't get excited thinking Jesus is going to come back. He could, he's able, but he doesn't even know himself. Only the Father knows. But don't get too excited and get up every day and say, "Come, Jesus, come, rescue us out of this mess," because Jesus says here, it is going to be a mess. And there is going to be wars, there's going to be rumors of wars, there's going to be nations against nations, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, earthquakes in various places, and all these are but the beginning of birth pangs. Well, you know, when a lady goes into labor, she starts very slow. The contractions are a long ways apart, and the contractions are mild when they first start, and it gives her time to get her bag packed, go to the hospital, or get ready to have the midwife come. And so as the birth comes closer, then the contractions start to get much stronger. The contractions get rather violent, I guess you could say, in a way. And they get very strong, and they get closer and closer together. And then comes the time of pushing, and that is the time of birth. When the baby is pushed out, that is the time of birth. And so it's a time when the baby comes, and it will be that way in the tribulation as well. The contractions will get very strong. The chaos will get stronger and stronger. The wars, the rumors of wars, the kingdoms against kingdoms, earthquakes, famines, all of these things will start to come in a more intense way, closer and closer together, with more power, more violence, you might say. Earthquake is a violent rupture of the earth's surface, or a violent shifting of the earth's surface. And we had a pestilence in Kenya a couple years ago. We had a locust take over 15 or 20 counties in Kenya. They had to spray them all over the place. And so these things will happen, but we're in the time of birth pangs. We're in the time of beginning of birth pangs and a time of sorrow. Well, how do you keep from getting burdened down and weighed down by the chaos that you see around you, how do you get to a place where you still have that peace, where you can get up and say, Buona Safiwe, hallelujah, praise the Lord? How do you get to that place where you can look not at the world and let the world take your focus away, but you keep your focus on Jesus and keep that peace that passes all understanding in your heart? Well, Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 27, he said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. And then he said, let not your heart be troubled, nor be fearful. The very same words that he spoke here in Matthew chapter 24. He said, let not your heart be troubled. My peace I give unto you. Beloved, the world cannot give you peace. The world doesn't have peace to give. What the world has is chaos. It has cartels. It has drug lords. It has shooting and violence and murder and rape and all of this, nations against nations. The kings of the earth take their stand. Psalm chapter 2 tells us the kings of the earth rage, and they take their stand against the Lord and against his word and against his son, Jesus Christ. And so this is the state of the world. I don't know, maybe because I'm getting older, maybe I see it more clearly now that this is just the state of the world. The chaos that we see every day is just the state of the world. My father lived through World War II, actually fought in World War II when he was a young man. He was in the military and the Navy, sent to Guam, way over in the South Pacific. And he was there for 2 years, came back after the war, and was a man that had a great peace about him for the most part. And I really appreciated that about him, how he had been to war, how he had fought for this country as a young man, traveled all over the world, taken from a little town of Clayton, Kansas, and traveled all over the world on behalf of the United States and the military. And he had a peace about him all of his life that I really appreciated. And so that's what we need to do. Keep our eyes on Jesus. Keep our eyes focused on his plan for our life, his plan for your life. Keep our focus on his love for you. And beloved, things are going to come that are going to rock this world for the most part. Americans have not seen much chaos since probably the 60s. I would say that would be the last time when there was a lot of rioting in the streets. There were some around the elections at different times. But for the most part, things have been pretty well in America. The economy has prospered for the most part compared to other places in the world. And so Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. And so peace comes from Jesus Christ. It doesn't come from the world. Peace comes from God's love for us. And he has been through every trial that you've been through. He knows your temptations. He knows your trials. Some of you out there listening to me today, you've had tremendous trials. You've had a lot of pain in your life, a lot of problems in your life. Some of you have struggled tremendously with addictions, with alcohol, with cigarette addictions, with drugs of other kinds, street drugs, legal drugs, illegal drugs, and all of these things create a lot of chaos in a person's life. It makes it very difficult for a person to find peace and to have that peace that passes all understanding. But I can tell you today, beloved, it is from Jesus that peace comes. It is from knowing that no matter what happens here on the earth, we have a sovereign God that is able and capable and interested in the affairs of men. He is interested in your affairs. He's interested in every detail of your life. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. So I'm going to read a passage of scripture here from Matthew chapter 11. Right at the end of chapter 11, Jesus said in verse 28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your weary soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So what is Jesus saying here? He's saying, yoke yourself to him. Yoke yourself to him. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Well, how can you do that? You can study your Bible every day, every single day. Start your day. That would be the best time, at least for me. Start your day reading God's Word. Put your phone away, put your computer away, put the TV away, and just spend some time with the Lord in His Word. And at that time, He'll bring to your remembrance some things you need to pray for. At that time, the Holy Spirit will speak to you, maybe give you direction or wisdom regarding a situation in your life where you need to make a decision. And so speak to the Lord, and He will speak to you. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, says Jesus, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your weary soul. And so that is the most important thing, is each and every day you have to spend time with the Lord. Each and every day you have to walk with Him, talk with Him. Just like if you're married, you have to walk and talk with your spouse. You have to communicate with your spouse. And if you don't do that on a daily basis, after a while you'll start to drift apart. After a while you'll not have any communication. The marriage won't be a strong marriage. And so if you talk to Jesus every day through prayer and listen to Him through His Word, listen to His guidance through your Word and through the Holy Spirit, He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And then, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When you put Jesus' yoke upon you, you don't feel a heavy burden. You're not weighed down. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek me first and my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When you seek the Lord first, put Him first in your life, make Him the first priority in your life, then He adds the other things to you that you desire in your life. He adds the other things to you that will make your life complete, that will make your life whole, that will give you that peace that passes all understanding. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And Jesus said, my yoke is easy. We want that easy yoke. We want to be walking so that we feel an ease when we walk. We have ease and not dis-ease. And I believe, and I know it's true, that a lot of illness, a lot of sickness comes from dis-ease. And when you don't have peace with the Lord, when you're not walking closely with the Lord, the devil comes in and he causes you to make bad decisions. He also causes you to have dis-ease. You're not at peace, you're not at ease in your life. And so it's important for the Lord to be with you. It's important for you to be with the Lord, and then you will have that peace that passes all understanding. So I'm going to close here today with a scripture from Galatians in the New Testament, Galatians, Ephesians. Galatians is right after 2 Corinthians. So Galatians chapter 5 in verse 16, the Apostle Paul says, so I say to you, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh or the sinful nature. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you wish, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. You are not controlled by the law. And so this is a recipe, you might say. This is the antidote to disorder and chaos and dis-ease. This is the antidote to the chaos that we see and the wars and rumors of wars, the daily news report. If you walk in the Spirit, you will have peace. You will not be satisfying the desires of the flesh. When you walk in the Spirit, you will be carrying out the Spirit's desire for your life. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together unless they are in agreement? And so when you are in agreement with the Holy Spirit and the counsel of God, you will have peace. When you are in agreement with the Holy Spirit and the counsel of God, you will have joy and you will have understanding. And when you have understanding and wisdom, then you can make good decisions in your life. When you have understanding and wisdom, then you can look to the Lord and He will guide you. He will direct you through the Holy Spirit and through His Word. And so we're going to talk just a minute here in closing about walking in the Spirit. What does that mean? How does it look in a practical way? How does it look to walk in the Spirit in your daily life? Well, there's three things I see, maybe four, that are walking in the Spirit. First of all, we talked about it already. Spend time reading God's Word every day. Thy Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. The Word is Jesus Christ, and the Word was with us, and the Word was God, the Word was with God. And so the Word was there in the beginning. That's Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Word. So when you speak the Word, when you memorize the Word, when you read the Word, and you let that Word soak into your heart, into your soul, and you meditate on the Word, beloved, you are meditating on Jesus Christ. You're abiding with Jesus. That Word then permeates you, and you start to judge your world. You start to judge the things in your world through the lens or through the prism, of God's Word. And so this is very important. You have to spend time in God's Word. Get your Bible out. Put it on your lampstand. Put it in your living room, on your coffee table, someplace where you're going to see it and where you're going to pick it up and where you're going to read it. And I would suggest, again, that you do this first thing in the morning, and also come in the afternoon, come in the evening. Instead of turning on TV and watching SportsCenter, or instead of turning on TV and watching some sitcom, pick up your Bible and read it. Let those words soak into your heart. Thy Word is a lamp unto our feet. And God's Word is settled in heaven. It tells us in the Bible His Word is settled in heaven. So every word that you read has already been settled in heaven. It's already been determined to be righteous and holy. And it has been determined to be what we need to navigate here in life. And so get your Bible out and read it. Read it to your children, read it to your wife, read it together with your family, and read it when you get ready to go to bed, read it in the morning. You can't get too much of God's Word. Somebody asked me here recently, is it possible to read your Bible too much? No, I don't think it's possible. I think it's, in fact, I don't know if anybody's ever tested that theory, but I don't know that you can read the Bible too much. You can memorize as much scripture as you can, keep it and hide it in your heart, and it will bless you every step of the way. And the second thing, after reading God's Word, spend time in prayer. Prayer is communication with God. It's also positioning yourself with God, positioning yourself in a place with God where you know He is your Father. You know you are a child of His. You were created in His image, and God loves you. He cares for you. He loves you so much, for God so loved the world. John 3:16, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so the Word is a blessing to us. Prayer is a blessing to us. When you speak to God, He speaks back to you through the Holy Spirit. And so you have to pray and pray and pray, and everything depends on prayer. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. In other words, Paul says you don't necessarily need just a small prayer time or a time in your secret place. That's good. That's wonderful. I hope you do that. But pray without ceasing. Pray all the time. And there's never a time when there isn't a necessity for prayer. You look around again at the world, all the chaos is a call for prayer. Things in your own life are a call to prayer. Your health, your finances, your family, your children, all of that is a call to prayer. And so pray without ceasing, and you can never pray too much. And then the last thing of walking in the Spirit is the fellowship of the saints. It is very important to stay in the fellowship with the saints. The devil will try to give you all kinds of reasons not to be in the fellowship, all kinds of reasons stay home on Sunday, watch the football game, sit in your rocking chair because you say, well, this is the only day I have to really relax. Well, God wants you in the fellowship. He wants you to be with other believers. He wants you to be with other saints. He wants you in the fellowship so that you can be encouraged and that you can look to them for encouragement, for prayer, for strength, and all of these things that you get when you're in the fellowship, and that you are looking to other people. They're looking to you. You give strength and you give encouragement to each other. And beloved, the worst place for a Christian to be, or a non-Christian, is out of the fellowship, because the devil can pick you off, he can isolate you, he starts to speak to you and get you all burdened down with addictions, burdened down with gossip, burdened down with all kinds of accusations. The devil is the accuser of the brethren, and when you're not in the fellowship, the devil can easily pick you off and isolate you and take you to that place where you don't want to go. So those three things: daily scripture reading, daily prayer, fellowship as much as you can with fellow believers, people who are sold out and want to be with other saints in the body of Christ. Well, Gathered the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that. We praise the Lord for all these many years. We want to hear from you. Help support this ministry. Help support the radio broadcast. Help support the projects we have going in Africa. And Father, I thank you that you love all of the people listening there today. Touch their hearts today that they could respond. Touch their hearts today that we could hear from them and let them support this ministry. Let them bless this ministry as we go forward from today. Stay tuned for contact information coming up here in just a few seconds. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.